This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Some people play by the rules, but the real game changers break them. I'm Soraya, and on Rule Breakers, we're talking to the risk takers, the rebels, and the ones rewriting the playbook. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Hey, good morning to you. It is a Tuesday morning. Happy April Fool's Day, Kim St. Ange. How are you feeling this morning?
Good.
Good.
How are you?
I'm good. Not feeling fooled. Although it's going to be a great day in Jeff City, I hear. It's the day of activism. Did you know that?
No.
So apparently,
what does that involve?
Apparently the bunch of pink hat wearing loonies known as Moms Demand Action are going to head down to the Capitol today to lobby against, I don't know, guns and anything else that you want for your freedom, your constitutional rights. There'll be a bunch of loony bins down in Jeff City today. It's gonna be a busy week. They got lots of good stuff. They're doing some good stuff. If they can get it passed by the end of May, by the end of the session in May, then we're going to be ahead of the game. There's a bill in the Senate that basically keeps men out of girls' sports. There's a bill that make sure you use the bathroom that equates to your sex, and there's some interesting bills that I hope they get done before the end of session. Right now, we're working on an interview with the House Speaker. Haven't secured a date for this week. We're trying to get him on, but there are several people working with him down there on Amendment 3 modifications. If I understand this correctly, what they're hoping to do is pass something that wouldn't be on the ballot, and this is what I want to ask him about, would be on the ballot in November of 2026. My biggest question about that is, why in the hell would we wait a year and a half to get this back on the ballot? Why? Why would you give the opposition, the crazy pink hat wearing people, a year and a half to go gather more foreign money to come back into Missouri and spend a lot more money? You know who loves this are the lobbyists. It's why the lobbyists don't. That's why they don't want IP reform, because every time one of these things comes up, no matter who wins, they win. No matter who loses, they win, because they all get enriched by it.
Well, and this morning I was just reporting about how the Planned Parenthood clinic in the Central West End has resumed abortions.
Yes. Aren't we all so proud?
Yeah. I mean, I think what bothers me, because I posted about this, and of course everyone on the left loves to react to it.
Sure.
Is, and I've talked about this before, but it's worth repeating. It's one thing to say, like, I think that people should be able to have an abortion, which I would still disagree with, but let's just say that's your stance. Okay. But for people to go out and celebrate this and try to taunt people about it, I think that's what's really sad and disgusting, is where people want, it's like you see the crazies on Twitter who are like saying, I'm going to go get an abortion just because I know I can. You're still, that's the loss of a life. Why are you celebrating that?
It's sick and twisted, to your point. Going to be quite a few of those folks down in Jeff City today, in case you're wondering. But they're headed down there for their day of action. So we'll see exactly what they get accomplished. If this happens, I will eat my words. Can I just tell you that? If this actually happens, I will admit to you right here this morning that I will eat my words. I did not believe after last year, with Cindy O'Loughlin stepping into leadership in the state after Caleb Rowden, that based on her actions last year on IP reform, that she would have recovered enough to get anything done this year. Several people told me it's like she's a different person. I'm like, what? Your compass shouldn't move that much in a matter of 12 months. I don't understand why you're a different person today than you were a year ago All these people are claiming she's back to her conservative self and working with different people and different coalitions and trying to get stuff done. I hope they're right. But I'll eat my words if it gets done by the end of this session. Some of these things may get done. They're big priorities. So we're going to keep our fingers crossed. That's good. The voter guide is out. It's up on the website, 971talk.com. You can go there and you can reference it. I've already gotten several questions emailed in regarding my position on things. We're going to continue to go over these the next few days. This morning, you know, we're going to have a board member, a candidate on from the Lindbergh School District. But it's important to understand this in the 30,000-foot view. The reason they continue to push, they being the NEA and special interests, continue to push these spring elections is that there's low voter turnout. And they can manipulate through spending more money the turnout of their own voters, and therefore they continue to dominate local school boards. If you want to change that, this is the week to do it. The election is 1 week from today. So we will continue to talk about these issues and the importance of protecting your children and getting some people with some common sense values in office. It's up to you. It really is. There's only so much I can do. I can get on the radio and rant about it. But unless you're willing to put your butt in the car and drive to the polls and vote, and early voting is underway right now, there's no reason you can't do it today. You don't have to wait till next Tuesday. Next Tuesday is the deadline. So get it done. Don't procrastinate. Find a reason to get out and vote today, please. You know, John Lamping is going to join us a little later. We'll talk to him about what's going on down at the State House and what might actually get done this year. We've got Todd Pyro, host of Fox & Friends First, is back on his normal Tuesday routine this week. So we'll get to Todd in the 7 o'clock hour. My friend Mark Walters, because it is 2A Tuesday. And coming up before the end of the show, if you like the shooting sports, my friend Chad Hansen is going to join me. Of course, they get together every year. They hold a foundation, a trap shoot, the Jeff Hansen Foundation. They raise money and they give it to great charities. And if you want to take part in that, we're going to have all the details before the end of the show today. So still sponsorships available and all of that, so we can help them raise some money for a great cause. I've been up there many times in a row. I've shot poorly. I've shot better on other occasions, but it's always a lot of fun. Let's put it that way. Yeah, that's good. All right, Carl Middleman, let's get to our top stories, please.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
Is there a thought that the Democrats could try to run Barack Obama against you?
I'd love that.
For his third term?
Boy, I'd love that. That would be a good one. I'd like that.
You know, have you ever played with a laser pointer with a cat? That is what Donald Trump is doing with the mainstream media on this issue of a third term. Can I just tell you that?
You guys continue to ask the president this question about a third term, and then he answers honestly and candidly with a smile, and then everybody here melts down about his answer.
Yep, pretty much. Caroline Leavitt just kind of spells it out the way it is. You ask him, he answered you. Read the Constitution.
Once you're in the country, you can apply for a work document. And then Social Security Administration automatically sends you in the mail your Social Security number.
This is one of the guys working with Elon Musk. What they have uncovered at the Social Security Administration should enrage you. And we're going to talk more about it this morning.
If you take part in the wave of domestic terrorism against Tesla properties, we will find you, arrest you, and put you behind bars. Justice is coming.
Pam Bondi. Yes, indeed. I love that this morning. She's just warning all of these nut jobs. And Kim, the timing of her statement could not be more perfect. Because yesterday, they caught one of the vandals who'd been vandalizing a Tesla. Have you seen the video of, like, if you, a Tesla has that 360 view. Like, there's nowhere you can approach a Tesla that one of its cameras doesn't capture your image. And these idiots, these morons who are vandalizing these things, they're basically barely functioning. Like, in other words, they're able to breathe, but that's just because that's a brain function. They're brain dead, and they're going up to these cars that are fully covered by cameras, and they're vandalizing them, and then they're surprised when they get caught, right? So the police, there's this case where this Tesla truck gets vandalized, and the police are dusting for fingerprints. But in the meantime, because the pictures of the guy are so clear, a little research on Facebook helped the victim narrow down who the guy was, and he went and he confronted him. And listen what happened when the guy got presented with the evidence. This is how dumb these people are. Listen.
Because they're trying to track you down. Thankfully, Facebook tracked you down. Uh-huh. So your business, your freaking livelihood, everything now. Listen, because you chose to write so you tell Facebook that you're sorry for writing a swastika on a Tesla.
Listen, I said, I'm sorry.
For what?
And I apologize.
For what?
I have nothing against your car, and I have nothing against you.
So why did you write a swastika on a Tesla?
Obviously, I have something against Elon Musk, but that's not the way to show my...
So Elon Musk owns that car? Because it was bought and paid for. It was bought and paid for a long time
ago. That's why it's misguided, and obviously, I did not intend to do this.
All right, we're going to wait for that.
Suddenly, was he on drugs? What do you mean?
Suddenly he's sorry. Well, he's just stupid.
I did not intend to do this.
First of all, he denied that he did it. He said, I just had my hands in my pocket. I don't know what you're talking about. And the guy goes, look, dude, the police have dusted for fingerprints because they've been trying to find you, but Facebook found you first. Why did you do this? And then he completely fessed up to it and apologized. Well, it's got nothing to do with you. I'm just mad at Elon Musk.
That'll show him.
That'll show him, since the money's already in Elon's pocket because this guy paid for the car a long time ago. I honestly am tempted to go to that Tesla dealership in Chesterfield the next time those morons are out there and just confront all of them.
They were out at this, I think it was the South County one over the weekend.
Well, they were in Chesterfield recently, too. I just, you're dealing with some mentally challenged people there. I just have to say that. All right, we're going to get to a quick break here. Carl Middleman, after yesterday's glorious national anthem, what could you possibly be following it up with today?
Rabbit.
Ah.
Because it's first of the month.
Mark,
today the Blues are going for their 10th win.
Curse them, Carl.
I have been cautiously optimistic the entire time.
I know.
Jeremy Boyer.
Would the president use to potentially run for a third term, as he said, via there are methods there?
Look, you guys continue to ask the president this question about a third term, and then he answers honestly and candidly with a smile, and then everybody here melts down about his answer. The president was talked about this last night on the plane. He said, it's not really something we're thinking about. He has 4 years. There's a lot of work to do. We've done a lot in these nearly first 100 days, and the American people love what this president is doing, particularly when it comes to efforts to secure the border.
Are you enjoying this as much as I am?
Well, that's what's funny about this whole thing. I don't even believe that President Trump's being serious when he says he's looking to run for a third term.
Well, he can't.
He's messing. Well, yes. Okay, but let's just say that something happened and they were able to change the Constitution where he could. The guy would be like in his late 80s by the time he finished it out. I wouldn't even support that. He's just jerking these reporters around, and they freak out about it, and he thinks it's funny, which it is.
I think he is jerking them around to some extent. I know that a congressman in the House has submitted a bill that would try to change the Constitution, the 22nd Amendment, back to allowing four terms, for example, instead of just two. But I mean, you have to understand what a steep climb that would be, people. Even if Congress decided to try to change the Constitution, it would then have to go to two-thirds of the states for ratification before the change could take place. I got to be honest with you. Between the lawfare the Democrats are pushing these days and just looking at the map, that's not going to happen. It's not an issue. Why has the left got their panties in a bunch over this? I don't get it, but it's brilliant. What's that?
They're looking for a headline.
It's brilliant on Trump's part to lead them to believe I'd love a rematch with Barack Obama. That'd be great. Boy, people really love what I'm doing. You know, I heard Jimmy Fallon talking about this a little bit yesterday, where he said this is clearly the president taunting the left. Mm-hmm. And it allows him, I thought this was a pretty smart point on Jimmy's part. It allows him to distract from the fact that he's a lame duck. If he holds over them the power that he might run for a third term, suddenly they got a lot more to worry about. If he's a lame duck, a cemented lame duck, then he has less power. And I think it's brilliant that they're all running around like chickens with their heads cut off, calling this a constitutional crisis. There's no crisis. There's not even a bill threatening to change the Constitution yet. If there is, it's gotten nowhere. So relax. Lighten up, Francis. We'll be back in just a minute.
Kim on a whim.
Mark, I just wanted to give you a warning this morning. As a grandpa, would you go by Papa?
Papa.
Yes. As a papa of toddlers, you should just be on the lookout, and I'm giving myself the same warning. I obviously have a two-year-old. They could be transphobic or homophobic, and you might not even realize it, and they could get into some serious trouble with that. Did you know that?
Let's correct that at an early age. What do we need to do?
Well, let me first just tell you what happened in England with this one toddler.
A toddler was suspended from a nursery after they were accused of being transphobic or homophobic. I just cannot believe this. The Department of Education data revealed the child is either 3 or 4 years old. AD of E, a Department of Education spokesman, said all pupils and staff should feel safe. I can't believe I'm reading this. Should feel safe and protected at school and should never face violence or abuse.
Of course, they haven't said any details of the case, but could a 3 or 4 year old have possibly said that led them to believe that that child was homophobic or transphobic or both, and made them feel like it was necessary to kick the child out of nursery school? Is that not so laughable?
First of all, I mean, they're little parrots at that point. I would imagine if they learned a bad word from mom or dad and then repeated it at school, that's one thing. But how do you hold the child at that age responsible for that?
You're really almost holding the parent account.
Right.
Like it's the parent's fault.
Thank you.
Okay, so let's say that there's a 4-year-old or a 5-year-old who identifies a boy but identifies as a girl. And that 3 or 4 year old that got kicked out, you know, calls them a boy. That's what they are. Is that what qualifies as transphobic, where you're not acknowledging their chosen gender, their gender identity?
I take it from listening to the accent that was England?
It's UK.
UK, yeah. Thank God that we are getting rid of all this wokeness in America. Can we just all close our eyes and bow our head for a moment and thank goodness that this is going away, at least for the time being in America?
Well, this is why these school board elections, obviously, we have an election coming up April 8th, if you've been living under a rock. That is why these are so critical, because this is the kind of stuff that can happen if we don't protect the people who are making these key decisions. By the way, this is not an isolated incident. This isn't some one-off. There was some data that was released that said that 94 students at these state primary schools in the UK had been in some cases suspended or even permanently expelled is the word I'm looking for, because of transphobia or homophobia. And that was during the 2022-2023 academic year.
So is it a case where the parents have assigned some pronoun to their child, and if another child misgenders them, they're guilty of this somehow? I mean, you're right. That could be what it is.
I'm sure it's something simple.
And that's an extreme version. But I tell you what, man, there are some people running for local school boards who absolutely embrace that kind of crap in general, right? Particularly out in Francis Howe. They support puberty blockers for kids, in boys and girls sports, DEI in schools, social justice in classrooms. That is Amy Grider and Sarah Olkey. They're both running out in Francis Howell. You just need to understand those things. As radical as this seems, and it's a long way away across the pond, there are people in America who advocate for these same things in general. Maybe not for toddlers, but in general, and they want to be on your local school board. This is critical.
Well, and here's the thing, too. A lot of these people who are running might not openly admit to supporting something like this, but if they were elected and push came to shove, they would absolutely support that child being suspended. Yes. J.K. Rowling, who, as you guys know, has been very outspoken and revealed that she is conservative, so she's gotten a lot of hate for it. She tweeted about this and put, "This is totalitarianism, insanity. If you think small children should be punished for being able to recognize sex, you are a dangerous zealot who should be nowhere near kids or in any position of authority over them."
I love
Amen.
Her.
Amen.
They've tried to shut her down. Mm-hmm. And like Elon Musk, she's got that F you money, and she doesn't have to worry about it, right? She's like, you can read Harry Potter or not, it doesn't matter. She's been made rich off of the series. You can't shut me down just because you don't like my opinion that what you're trying to do here is hogwash, not Hogwarts. You notice I didn't say Hogwarts, I said hogwash.
Nice.
So, there you go. Thank you.
And this is where we're going. So please vote, because like you said, it happened over in England. And it's so easy to look at a situation like this and say, well, that's just extreme. That would never happen over here. Well, think back to 10 years ago. Think back to your grandparents who grew up in the life the way that they did. And then think if they were here today, what they might say about what's been going on in our schools and society in general.
Oh, yeah.
They would be completely dumbfounded where we are right now.
It's true that this is you're right. 10 years is a good timeline. Take yourself back to 2015, even prior to COVID and all of this nonsense, prior to the Biden administration. And I told you I'm going to get to what they did at Social Security coming up. It's everything you suspected and worse. But think about the radical policies they put in place, using COVID as an excuse in many cases, but it was more than about COVID, to try to radically transform this country. A lot of it started under Obama. Biden just continued it when he took office, because the Obama people are the ones making decisions in the Biden White House. That same group of people. We're doing all of these things, pushing this through the Civil Rights Office at the Department of Education, and threatening schools, withholding funds if they didn't implement the Biden administration's perception of Title IX. They tried to change what it meant and then blackmail these schools if they didn't go by the new definitions. This is exactly what you get.
Right.
And the NEA was all in. So if you've got a local candidate supported by the NEA or the Missouri NEA, it's just an arm of the NEA. They take money from the NEA. They use that money to support their local candidates through advertisements and all of that stuff. And you just have to you have to see this for what it is. We have an opportunity. Voting has already started. The election's 1 week from today. You have got to get out. And the voter guide was put together for one reason. I tried to vet these folks to separate the ones that don't buy into all this garbage, so you'd have an idea who to vote for. And in some districts, the sad story is there was no one.
Mm-hmm. COVID was obviously terrible in so many ways, but the one blessing that really came out of it was it opened so many people's eyes. Parents started getting involved. They were forced to, because their kids were required to do virtual learning for, in some cases, I think 2 full years. For some districts, maybe at least a full year. And they had more of an active role in what their kids were learning about. And thank goodness for that, because it encouraged a lot of parents to step up and get involved in these school board meetings. And even some of them who have run have said that that was really kind of the turning point for them. So I try to look at it as, wow, you know, that was such a horrible time and I don't like to think back to COVID, but there was some good that did come out of it. And this train has been going down these tracks very quickly for the last number of years. And finally, with Trump in office and him really going after these businesses and school districts with DEI and critical race theory, CRT, all these different things that have been pushed by the Biden administration, finally he's going after them. But let's be real, they're not dumb. They're going to find ways to get around it. They're going to use different language, as they have for years, where it's more easily disguised, so that if you as a parent have been looking for these keywords to pick out, you know, CRT, for example, or DEI, you might not be as quick to pick up on it because they've just changed the language a little bit, but it has the same meaning.
Yeah, it's very true. It's a good point. And another reason to download the voter guide, 971talk.com. A little later today, we're going to talk to one of the candidates on my guide from the Lindbergh School District, where once again, you have an opportunity here to get a voice of reason on that school board down there. Please take advantage of it. We're going to get to David Rendleman coming up in the 8 o'clock hour today. Stay tuned for that. You know what today is, by the way, Kim?
April Fool's Day?
No. But this is why this is important. It's Liberation Day Eve. Because Donald Trump didn't want to do Liberation Day on April Fool's Day. He wanted it on Tuesday, so everybody knew, I'm not joking. And Madeline Rivera for Fox News is reporting from the front lawn of the White House this morning. She is going to join us live at about 6:20 to talk about what we're expecting tomorrow on Liberation Day when it comes to the United States leveling the playing field when it comes to these ridiculous tariffs that are levied on us around the world. We're going to get to all that and more coming up. Stay tuned.
They were beating me and starving me.
Do you think they starved you or they just didn't have food?
No, I think they starved me, and they would often eat in front of me and not offer me food.
Only Leslie Stahl. Like one of the most embarrassing journalists in America after the whole laptop incident with Donald Trump years ago. Like he exposed her as the fraud she is years ago. Would get somebody in front of her who was held hostage for 400 days or however long it was, beaten, witnessed women being raped while he was being held hostage. He was starved for food. And Leslie Stahl's next question is, are you sure they were starving you on purpose? Or is it possibly just because they didn't have any food? She's worried about the animals who attacked Israel and took hostages and raped women and killed babies more than the man sitting in front of her who went through hell for 357 days. Why does anybody watch 60 Minutes anymore? You know, I watched a little bit of this Sunday night. It came on right after the end of that basketball game. And I watched that interview we have here. Carl, where's the one where the guy says he thanks Donald Trump for being released? Go ahead and go to that. Is it number 7?
If you could say something to President Trump, what would you say?
Please stop. Stop this war. And help bring all the hostages back.
And you think he can help?
I know he can help. I'm here because of Trump. I'm here only because of him.
Can you imagine how soul-crushing that must have been for the radical leftists who control CBS News and edit 60 Minutes to allow somebody to go on their broadcast and praise Donald Trump? But it's absolutely right. Joe Biden couldn't get it done. He had no interest in getting it done. He had no interest in ending the war in Ukraine. These are the kind of folks you're dealing with at 60 Minutes. Leslie Stahl should have been fired years ago. It's where their old news anchors go to die, right? It just is. If you look, I was looking at the lineup there. They got like 5 or 6 people I didn't even recognize. Here's another one of these bites from Stahl. Listen.
Statistics tell the grim story of the October 7th, 2023 Hamas terrorist attack on Israel. 1,200 civilians and soldiers slaughtered that day. 251 taken hostage, men, women, and children. Since then, an estimated 50,000 Gazans have been killed. 12 days ago, Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu resumed the bombing of Gaza, breaking a fragile ceasefire that was exceedingly popular with Israelis.
So, in glosses over the attack that was 10 times worse than 9/11 in the United States on Israel. the equivalent of being 10 times worse had it happened in the in a country with the population of the United States. If you extrapolated it out, it would be 10 times worse than the death toll of 9/11 in the U.S. Glosses that over, mentions it right at the very beginning, and then wants to point out what happened to Gazans as a result of that. What happened to Gazans is the direct result of FAFO. For 20 years, you've supported a group of terrorists who've occupied Gaza, affixed elections, brainwashed your children into believing that the only good Israeli is a dead one, and now you're trying to justify somehow the reaction by Israel or the people being killed in Gaza is somehow a tragedy. I'm sorry, they ask for this. Is that cold? Is that too cold to me? I honestly believe it. You can't support terrorists hiding in your hospitals and your schools for 20 years, lobbing bombs into your neighboring country. The neighboring country fights back. There are going to be casualties as a result of that. But nobody's turning them in, are they? Have you heard of a Gaza hotline where they can call and say, hey, by the way, there's a terrorist in my basement? That's not happening because they support them. And then she's got the guts to want to draw parallels to the suffering of the people in Gaza and then try to blame Israel for breaking the ceasefire. These are the sick people that you've got running the network news in this country, and a couple of examples of it there. More worried about whether the hostage takers had food than whether or not they were intentionally starving the hostages. Leslie, there shouldn't have been hostages to begin with. The people that did this are animals. Worse than animals. Animals can be kind. I just can't get over it. I apologize to you. I had this part of this sound yesterday, and I just didn't get around to playing it. And I saw it again this morning, and I'm like, we have got to let people hear this. From 60 Minutes, the once icon, the once towering example of investigative journalism that you wanted to be a part of when you were in journalism school years ago. And look what it's fallen to. It's where their old anchors go to die. They do. Scott Pelley. Remember Scott Pelley? Scott Pelley's on 60 Minutes now. He's the one that gets to say, and I'm Scott Pelley, and this is 60 Minutes. Just what a... I'd love to see the ratings. They've got to just be horrendous. People are seeing right through that stuff. Coming up, we'll get to Madeline Rivera from Fox News. She's at the White House this morning. We're going to talk more about what's going to happen tomorrow on Liberation Day.
Get more at 971talk.com.